We're going to learn Daf Samach Ches in Masechtas Ksubas, but we are going to start from the two dots, which is three lines from the bottom of Samach Zayin and Mabeitz. So the Gemara on Daf Samach Zayin and Mabeitz is discussing the fact that obviously you have to give tzedakah, and that if it turns out that the person who is receiving the tzedakah really needs more, then it is actually incumbent on the people giving the tzedakah to support that lifestyle if it's appropriate. So that's the sugya that we are in the middle of right now. So the Gemara continues right at the two dots, three lines from the bottom. Rabbi Abba Havatzayir Zuze Besudre. What he would do is he would put money into a bundle. Veshodileila Achure. And he would put the bundle behind him so that if people come and take tzedakah, they won't be embarrassed that he won't see them. However, umamsi nafshe libe aniyah, that just means that he would make himself available for the aniyim, and he would walk through, let's say, a neighborhood where there were aniyim so that aniyim could come take. Umasli eine miramoy, but he would tilt his eyes to the Ramoyim, meaning he would look a little bit behind him to watch who was taken, not to really pay attention so much exactly who's who, but to see that if there's somebody who's inappropriate, who doesn't really deserve to take the money, is coming and taking, he would look at them, and that would sort of keep the Ramoyim, the tricksters away, the guys who don't really need or deserve to take any of that money. So he was careful not to give the money away to people who don't deserve it. So that's sort of the flip side of what the Gemara beforehand was talking about. Beforehand, the Gemara was saying, whatever they need, give them. And on the other hand, here the Gemara is taking sort of the other approach, which is that if they don't deserve it, you don't have to give it to them. In fact, the Gemara now tells the story, Rav Chanina, Have, Hahu Anya, that Rav Chanina was dealing with a certain person, the Have Rogel Shadur Le Arba Zuze, that he would give him four Zuz, Komale Shabbato, every Erev Shabbos. Every Erev Shabbos, he would send the money to him for support. Yoim Echad, one day, Shadrinhu Nihile Biad Visu. One day he decided instead of giving the money himself, he asked his wife to go and deliver the check. Also the Amro Le, so his wife came back after he delivered the check and says, Loy Tzarich, he says, this guy doesn't need it. Okay, he doesn't need it because he has more than enough. So Rav Chanina asked her, My Choses, what did you see that made you determine that he doesn't need it anymore? So she answered, Shami, I heard him, Dehave Ka'omer Loi, that the Balabas, the guy you were giving to, was saying, that they were saying to him, somebody was talking to this person, what utensils are you going to use for the Su'udah? And now on the top of Samach Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Betli Kesef or Betli Zav? This is part of the question. They were asking him, are you going to be using the silk cloth, Or are you going to be using the flax cloth or the silk cloth, which are both very expensive utensils? And so we see that this person was living the high and mighty, rich lifestyle. Omar, so Rav Chanina said, so he said, you're right. Rav Chanina agreed and said, you're right. In fact, if that's the case, I don't need to support them. So Amar, Hainu da Amri Rabbi Elozer, that's what Rabbi Elozer said. Bo v'nachzik toivil ramoin. We should actually say thank you to those tricksters who are taking money inappropriately. She'el mole hain, because if not for them, hayinu choytim b'chol yoim, we would be doing averis every day. Shenema v'karalecha el Hashem, they'll call to Hashem. V'hayu b'chol chet, and you're going to be doing an aver. Meaning, if the aniyim are calling out to Hashem that they need support, and they're not getting the support that they need, and it's our fault that we're not giving them support, so then Anachanami will be held accountable for that, because if they needed them, we can, and we're not giving them, that's a problem. However, what Rav Chanina was saying is that now we're saved, because if we have a legitimate excuse to explain why we're not giving them, it's not pshat that we don't want to give them. Of course we want to give them. But we feel and we are influenced by the fact that sometimes we're giving money to people who don't deserve it. So now we don't have that compunction to say every single time somebody sticks out their hand that, oh, they need it, we have to give them no matter what they ask. No, we take a step back. So if, chas v'shalom, we're missing somebody who really does need it and we're not giving, it's not our fault. So we can't be held accountable for that because we have a legitimate excuse for saying, we didn't think you deserved it, so therefore we didn't give. And in that way, we're not over the aver. But if, you know, but if somebody would need it and we have no excuses whatsoever, so then we have a chiyuv to give. But just so that, but Tosfos is very important, Tosfos over here, that says, so what's the difference between this story and all the other stories that the Gemara and Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis had told? And the Gemara and Samach Zayin Amud Beis also had similar type of stories where they were sending money and they found out that the person was living a richer lifestyle, and they said, well, in that case, I have to give them more to support their lifestyle. So why in this case, when he said, oh, you're eating over here on fancy dishes, so that's already shows that they're living a lifestyle that's inappropriate. So basically, that is what I just said, really is the answer. The question is the answer. The answer is that these are things that are not necessary. There's one thing to say that this is not helpful. This is not helpful. What type of dishes you eat on is, and fancy dish, whether this fancy dish or that fancy dish, that's what Tosfos says, is not considered something that you need to sustain. This is already beyond what needs to be done. When you're dealing with what type of food, okay, so there are some people, as Tosfos says, they're mufunakim. They are particular about what they eat and what they don't eat. You know, like, for example, anybody with kids can appreciate the fact that the kids only will eat, you know, they'll wake up one morning and I'm only eating eggs and they won't eat anything else. Right? Whatever their example is. So you understand that when it comes to what you eat and how you eat and so on and so forth is one thing. But when it comes to what type of dishes you're working on, that already is above and beyond, and that's not something that we need to support. So it's a very, very important chilik to understand what's considered, so to speak, necessary and what's considered not necessary. Okay, but what we just learned was that because there are money, because there are people out there who don't deserve it and are taking our money, that gives us a reason to, for pause and to say, well, maybe one second, they don't really need, I don't need to support this person. Okay, as the Gemara now continues. Okay, the Gemara now continues. V'tani Reb Chiya bar Rav Ridifti, Reb Yeshua ben Karcha Armas. So Reb Chiya taught us that Reb Yeshua ben Karcha said, Kol hamalim einav mina tzedakah. Somebody who looks away from tzedakah ki ilu oved avodah zarah. It's as if he's serving avodah zarah. A person has to give tzedakah. Ksiv hacha, because on the one hand the pasuk says, "Yishamar lecha pen yeh davar ilvecha b'liyal," that you're gonna with your heart without with b'liyal means without an ol, without thinking about Hashem. Now you have to understand the rest of the pasuk. The rest of the pasuk is in the context of taking care of your achicha ha'evyon. You have to see the rest of the pasuk that it says v'ro einecha ba'achicha ha'evyon. That pasuk is talking about giving tzedakah, but v'ksiv hasam. But there's another pasuk that says yatsu anoshim b'nei b'liyal. And then there are people that go out without any yoke, meaning they're going against and they serve avodah zarah. So that's that's the context or the juxtaposition of these two psukim. They both use the word b'liyal. So mala halon avodah zarah. Just like the pasuk over there is talking about serving avodah zarah, afkan avodah zarah. So too, in the context of not giving the aniyim what they deserve, the pasuk is comparing it to somebody who serves avodah zarah. So we see there's a very strong obligation to give tzedakah. And the Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, Hamasamayas Einoi, somebody who goes ahead. Now we're talking about from the Aniyim's perspective. This guy makes himself look like he's somebody who deserves tzedakah. Somebody who blinds his own eye. Matzva es Bitnoi. Or he makes his stomach bloat out. Looking, you know, because people who don't eat properly, they get bloated stomachs and starvation. Or somebody who makes his leg look either broken or missing or something like that. He makes it look like he's missing a leg. He's something wrong with his leg. And the idea, obviously, is to make himself look poor and so that people will feel bad for him. They're not going to leave this world until that, you know, what they're playing around with actually happens. Okay, so it's not right to make people think more about it than it really is. Hamakabel tzedakah v'ein tzarich l'kach. And similarly, the Gemara says somebody who takes tzedakah when he doesn't really need it, soifoy at the end ain't a nifter min ha'olam. He's not going to leave this world out shi'av l'day kach. He's going to end up needing it. So, on the one hand, we have a chiyuv to give. On the other hand, the aniyim are not allowed, or the people who, you know, unfortunately, are not aniyim, who make themselves look like aniyim, That's also. It's also to, even though you say to yourself and you can convince yourself, oh, what are you talking about? I'm giving this guy an opportunity to give tzedakah. Wow, I'm such a tzaddik. So that's not a tzaddik, making somebody else give tzedakah when they really shouldn't, they don't need to be giving tzedakah in this situation. Yeah, Tanan Hoso. Now, we learned to Maseches Peah. Ein mechayvenoy soy limkor es besoy ves klei tashmishoy. So a person is not chayev to sell his house or the utensils that he needs to run his house. Now this is talking about that in order to collect lekat shicha and peah, as we know, we just say you have to be an ani, you have to be a poor person. However, the Chazal said an amount, 200 zuz, the person, it depends on how much money the person has at the time, whether or not he is defined halachically. We have to create a halachic status of whether he is a poor person. Now, let's say he has in the bank, he only has, and the number is 200 zuz. So let's say in the bank he only has 190 zuz, in our scenario, and he has $10 worth of stuff in the house. So theoretically, he can go ahead and sell those $10 worth of forks and knives and spoons, and then he would have 200 zuz, and in that case, he wouldn't need to collect like a chicha and payah. So what this Mishnah is saying is that you do not have an obligation, the ani doesn't have an obligation to sell his personal items to put himself in the category of somebody who doesn't need like a chicha and payah. Rather, he can keep what he has, and since his bank account doesn't have enough money, so then he is able to collect like a chicha and payah. Okay, that's the statement that the Mishnah makes. So, but the Gemara says, "V'lo, you don't have to sell." V'atanya, we learned a brisa that seems to imply just the opposite. Hoye mishtamish b'klei zahav. If a person is using gold kelim, mishtamish b'klei asef, you should use silver. You should downgrade a little bit, and in other words, sell the more expensive stuff so that you do have money. B'klei kesef, and even if you're using silver, mishtamish b'klei nechoshes, downgrade a little for whatever you have. You should downgrade and sell the more expensive things so you have extra money in your pocket, so that you don't fall into the category of an ani. So we see just the opposite of what we just said, that you do have to sell to save yourself from the category of ani. So Amar Rav Zvid, loy kasha. It's not a contradiction. Ha b'mita v'shulchan, ha b'koisois v'ka'ores. It depends on whether you're talking about your bed, your bedding, versus you're talking about the utensils that you eat on. That the utensils, the bedding and shulchan, that is something that you can be particular about. And you could say, I need to sleep on this. Habakkos is the car race, but when it comes to the utensils that you're using, so that's something that you can, you know, that you could use something else and still manage. And therefore, those are the things that you should sell. So the Gemara says, why? Maishan habakkos is the car race deloy, or the opposite way around. I said it the opposite around. The bed and the table, you could switch. You could say, I could sleep on any bed. And what I eat with my fork and knife, that I am particular about. I said it's just the opposite. And now the Gemara says, Maishna koisus v'ka'ares d'lo'oi. Why by the selling, why are you not obligated to sell your cup and your plate to Omar? Because you're able to say, me'isili. It's gross for me. I need to, you know, this is what I'm comfortable with. This is what I need to eat. So mita v'shulchanami. Omar loy mikabel aloy. So by a bed and a table also you could say, I'm particular about what bed I sleep in. I'm particular about my table. I could say make the same argument. So why is there a difference? So Amarova Bere de Rabba de Macharisha de Kaspa. So he gives a different teretz. When the Brisa is talking about, when the Brisa says you have to sell, he's talking about where you have a very fancy, so Rashi translates it as a very fancy comb that they used to take to the bathhouse with them to, you know, so normally people just take a brush, but this guy has like a silver comb that he uses, which is totally unnecessary. Or the other Mefarshim, the Aruch I think, and other Mefarshim explained that it means a plow, that literally the plow is made out of silver as opposed to the regular basic metal, which is completely unnecessary. It doesn't change anything. That's why you have to sell it, because that is a luxury by everybody's definition, and therefore you would have to sell that to keep yourself out of the category of an ani. That's one teretz. Rapapa Amar Loi Kasher. Rapapa says another way to answer it is Kan Koidem Shiyavel Dei Gibui Kan LaAcher Shiyavel Dei Gibui. It depends on whether we're talking about before collections or after collections. So the way Rashi learns, and believe it or not, Tosfos agrees with him, Rashi learns that Gibui means as follows. If it turns out, if you go, meaning before you, if right now that's what I have in my wallet and that's all I have, so then I don't have to sell anything. But if it turns out that I ended up collecting Lekat Shichan Peah in a way that I didn't, I could have avoided it. So now Beis Din has the right to come in and say, repay, reimburse us for the tzedakah that you took, that you should never have taken in the first place. So then, Anachanami, Beis Din is allowed to, since we're at the reimbursement stage right now, Beis Din is allowed you to, it can even force you to sell your utensils so that they can get reimbursed. Again, so this is after Beis Din determined that you should never have taken in the first place. So meaning, beforehand, a person walks in to Beis Din and says, hey, I don't have anything. And the Beis Din says, okay, fine, you can collect. But then, afterwards, it turns out that you were pushing the envelope, you were lying. You really should not have taken from tzedakah. So then, in that case, Beis Din has the right to go ahead and say, you now, as a knas, the way Tosfos explains what Rashi is saying is it's a knas that we can go back and even force you to sell things that we, under normal circumstances, we would not force you to sell. Now we are going to force that sale because you should never have collected in the first place. That's the way Rashi learns. Rabbeinu Tam learns that we're talking about whether, it depends on whether you're avoiding falling into the category of an ani. In other words, once you don't have to, if you fall into the category, you fall into the category. So then, if you're taking from Hefker, so then you don't have to sell. But if we're now talking, so there's two different categories. Lekat Shichan and Peah are Hefker. It's not coming out of, so to speak, anybody's pocket because it's already separated off the field. But if we're talking about that people have to go around collecting for you, we don't have, this is the way Rabbeinu Tam learns, that you don't have a right to say, I'm keeping on to my fancy car, but everybody else should go around collecting for me so that I can live my lifestyle. That's how Rabbeinu Tam learns the Pshat in the Gemara. Versus, agrees with Rashi ultimately, but that is the second pshat in how to learn this Gemara. Zok the next Mishnah. Yisuima sheyisiyasa ima achecha midaita. So a girl Nebuch Yisuima who her father died and now it's time to marry her off, and her mother and brothers are marrying off. Now midaita, Rashi says, is that she's even willing to get married. So even though she's willing to go through with this, so you would think to yourself, okay, whatever happens, she agreed to. And in this case, what happened? Because the law b'me'ah b'chamishim zuz. So they wanted to give a dowry, and they gave her what I guess would be considered a very cheap dowry. They gave her 150 zuz, which is, relatively speaking, for the Mishnah's sake, that's a small amount. So Yechila, she's able to say Mishatagda when she grows up. She's able to go back to them later when she grows up and realizes how they shortchanged her. She's able to go back and say, no, that was not right. I didn't realize what you were doing to me, so that was not right. I have a right to go back and demand that you pay me the extra. Okay, again, even though she agreed at the time. Rabbi Yehuda says, we're talking about now, of course, we're talking about after the father was nifter. If the father was alive and it was his money, he literally gets to decide what he wants to give and what he doesn't want to give. Here we're talking about Beis Din is going back to decide whether this was the right amount. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, imisiyas basa rishayna, if he had an older daughter that he already married off, so yinosin l'shmiya, kadash yinosin l'rishayna, it's very simple. We don't have to guess anymore. If we know how much he gave for his older daughter, then while he was still alive, we can assume, Rabbi Yehuda says, that that's what he would want to give to his second daughter, so we don't have to do any guessing games. However, the Chachamim say no. Pa'am sha'adam, ani, v'hesher, sometimes he was poor at the time and now he has more assets, ayasha v'heni, or the other way around, or maybe at the time he was very wealthy and now he does has less, and we'll see how the Gemara defines those words. Elishamanas and achasim v'naisalot. But rather, what we do is, we look at what he has at this moment, and we take a percentage, 10% or whatever it is, and we give that percentage to the daughter. So it's a set amount on now. We don't look at the past. That's the Mishnah. Oh, Amar Shmuel. Leparnosa shomin ba'av. So the parnosa here in this context, the word parnosa means the dowry. That's how, in other words, doesn't mean what could be translated as taking, supporting her. Doesn't mean support. It means specifically that the the dowry, just, you know, the donation, the amount, the contribution that the father gives in the beginning of the marriage. And again, we evaluate the father. The Rashi says, what are we evaluating? We're evaluating whether the guy's a giver, or he's a cheapskate, or he's, you know, whatever it is. We look at how much, we really assess what the father would be willing to give. And one other very interesting thing that Rashi points out, that what we do is, Rashi doesn't say this, but I saw in the Farshim say, they ask his friends, how do you evaluate the father? It doesn't mean just looking at his bank account. We don't look at it in a vacuum and say, okay, he has $100 in his bank, okay, so that's what he would give. No, we look at how he lived, how he dealt with his friends, how he dealt with if he's the type of guy who's giving out to everybody, all his friends, so then he would want to give to his daughter. If he's the type of guy who doesn't give to anybody, then the expectation is he's not going to be giving to his daughter also. We look at how he lived his lifestyle. Okay, so that's a statement that Shmuel makes. So Meisvei, the Gemara now asks the question, the daughters get supported, now we're talking about regular support, they get fed, and they also get their dowry from the father's nechasim. This is after the father was passed away. But the Gemara says, Ketza. So how do we do this? We don't say, well, if the father was alive, this is what he would do. We simply value the property, and we give based on that. So we see, now this is very different than what Shmuel said, because Shmuel said we look at his personality. Here we're saying we don't look at the personality. We just take a bank statement and say, we just take a straight value, and whatever the value is, that's what we give. So, myla parnosis habal. And when the Mishnah, when this Brisa says, the parnosis, it says, nizoinus uparnosa. So parnosa must be the amount that he would have given to the husband, the dowry. So we see that it's different than what Shmuel said, because it's just a straight value. So, amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok loy parnosis atzmo. We're talking about how much the daughter gets, not how much the father would give to the son-in-law. The Gemara tells in Mizoinus Umis Parnassus Ketani. It says two things. It says already that you're giving the daughter Mizoinus. And then it also says Parnassus, so it must be something else. My love, Achas Parnassus Abav, Achas Parnassus Asma. Must be that one's referring to the daughter and one's referring to the son-in-law. So the Gemara says, Loi, Aydavaydi, Parnassus Asma. We are really both of those words really are talking about giving support to the daughter. One's talking about her food and drink, what she eats, mizoinus literally. And one's talking about her clothing, what she wears and what she covers herself with. So it's two different things. But it's all talking about the daughter, and therefore the Bryce is not a contradiction to Shmuel at all. The Bryce is talking about how much the father, we simply give a value on how much the father can afford to give the daughter, versus when it comes to the son-in-law, we take into consideration other outside factors. That's where the Gemara is holding right now. However, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, the Chachamim Aymrim, our Mishnah that we just said, the Chachamim say, Pa'am Shadam Ani, Vahashir, Ashir, Vahani. We say, you can't just look at what he did in the past. You have to say, it could have been wealthier, it could be poorer. El Shomanes and Achasim, Vinoisin law. And we look here, our Mishnah also uses that expression that we value the property, his assets, and that's what we give. So we see again that it really, we do take value into consideration. So the Gemara says, my ani umay asher. Now what does that mean that he was poor or rich at a given time? Inema ani ani b'nechasim. If we're talking about that he was poor and he had no property, asher b'nechasim, and then at some point he was rich. So michlal d'tana, so remember, this is the Chachamim are arguing. So michlal d'tana kama sabar afilu asher v'hani k'demei kari avina law. So you're telling me that the Tanakhama would argue on this concept and say that if he used to be a millionaire and now he's a pauper, he still has to give because he was once upon a time a millionaire? That doesn't make any sense. He can't possibly give what he did in those days. He doesn't have the money to give that he used to be able to give. So it can't mean literally that anybody would argue on that concept. Elalav, ani bedas. So rather, it doesn't mean financials. It means personality. That ani means he was poor, that he didn't used to give. Asher bedas. Now he's more willing to give. Okay, and even so, ketani shomin es hanechosim. So even so, that we're talking about his personality, we still say, the Chachamim still say, you value the property, the noisin law, and you give on the value of the property. Alma loyos lina baser umdino. The tiyufta de Shmuel. So we see we don't take the big picture into consideration and umdino, what we would have expected him to do. Rather, we give a set value. We look at what it really is, and we don't care whether he used to give more or used to give less. We don't care about that. So that would be just the opposite of Shmuel, because Shmuel is saying we just do a straight value. Shmuel is saying that we take his personality into consideration, and the Mishnah seems to be saying now that Ani and Ashir means his personality more, personality less, and still the Mishnah concludes that you just take straight value, financials, straight value. So we see that the Mishnah doesn't take his personality into consideration. So the Gemara answers, Huda Amak Rav Yehuda, and Achanami Shmuel will hold like Rav Yehuda Shita Datsnan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, so Shmuel will hold like what Rabbi Yehuda says. Im esiyat basa rishoyna, if he married off a daughter previously, yinosan l'shniyah kadef shenosan l'rishoyna. So then he gives to the second one like he gives to the first one, meaning we don't look at other factors, we just look straight at what he did in the past. So we see, so to speak, his personality, but his personality in the sense of how he distributed in the past. So the Gemara says, if Shmuel is saying exactly like Rabbi Yehuda Shita, the name of Halacha is Rabbi Yehuda. If he's saying the same thing as Rabbi Yehuda, said, why don't we just paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara says, Iyamar Halacha is Rabbi Yehuda, because if we just say straight Rabbi Yehuda, Halamina Dafka Hesia, it's only if he actually married off another daughter, Degoli Daite, because there it was clear what his giving habits are. Avaloi Hesia Loi. But if he didn't ever marry off another daughter, where we have no real indication of what he normally gives, that we would think that maybe we can't, based on his personality, what he should do. Kamash Malon, so that's what Shmuel is coming to tell us. Time of the Rabbi Yehuda. The logic of Rabbi Yehuda's conclusion is Azlina Basar Umdana. That we really are valuing. Loishna Isiya, Loishna Loisiya. It doesn't matter whether or not he's ever actually married off a daughter in the past or not. That's not relevant. The high Diktani Isiya. So now, why does the Mishnah use that example where he did actually marry off another daughter? La'adichan Koichan de Rabbanan, to tell us the opposite. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is very easy. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, well, let's just see what he's done in the past. If this is his personality in the past, we can assume that this is going to be, he would have the same personality over here also. So what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is the Rabbanan Shita, that is the Avogav de Yisiyo. Even though he did marry off a daughter in the past, the Goli Daitu, and he has revealed what he likes to do, whether he was very giving or not giving. We now really know what he likes. Loyos Lina Basarumdana, the Chacham say, no, we're not going to take that into consideration because everything is different, and now it's, you know, now it's an estate, it's an asset, it's not a person, so we don't take the personality into consideration. The Chacham say, we just look as a straight evaluation, whatever the numbers are, that's what we're going to give, and, you know, the father's not here to make that decision, so we have to look at it, so to speak, in a vacuum. We just give exactly what we expect. So this becomes a very basic machlokes between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. The Chacham say, it's all based on financials, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we got to take the big picture, and if we have, what do they call them, the comparables, the comps, right? If we have comps that you're able to say, oh, this is what he did in the past, then we know what we should expect over here also. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Okay, Amalei Rabbi L'Rav Chista. Darshina Mishmecha. We have heard in your name, Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda, that you paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that you do look at what has happened in the past. So, Amalei, so Rav Chista answered, Yehei Rav, it should be the wish, that all these nice things, that people should constantly say nice things like this in my name. Yeah, I agree. So the Gemara says, so now basically it sounds like Rava was praising the fact that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. But does Rava really hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Tanya, we learned in a braisa. Rabbi Yomer Basin is Zainus Mina Achin. If you have a daughter who is, again, in a regular case, she's a young girl and she's getting supported by the brothers. Noitelis Iser Nechosim. She should take 1/10. This is for the sake of the dowry. She should take 1/10. The Omer Rava, and Rava Taka says, Hilchasukir Rebbe. We paskin like Rebbe. So this is exactly the opposite. Because now it's just a straight value. We don't take the father's personality into consideration. It's just a straight value. So the Gemara says, right? So we see that this contradicts in Rava Shita. The Gemara says, like Kasha, Amidne, Ha'adoloi, Amidne. Over here we're talking about, it depends on whether we actually know the father. If we can assess the father, we actually know what the father's personality is. So then Anachanami. We could take that into consideration. Our scenario where we paskin, where we just do a straight tenth and that's it. It's talking about where this is a new case for us. This is, you know, the girl walks into Beis Din. We don't know her. We don't know the father. So then we have no choice but to just do a straight line, one tenth. And the Gemara says that makes sense, that that's the way we look at it, that it depends on whether we know the father or not. There was a story of an Asan law Rebbe Echod Mishnei Masar Benachasim. So all of a sudden Rebbe went ahead in that case specifically and he gave 1/12 instead of 1/10. So Kashina Adadi. So Rebbe himself now is contradiction. On the one hand, Rebbe said 1/10, and over here he's giving 1/12. Elalav Shmamino Hada Amdene Hadaloy Amidne Shmamino. It depends on whether or not we knew the father. So Rebbe is not a contradiction. If we don't know the father, then there is a rule. But if we know the father, then we are going to take the father into consideration, his personality into consideration. Gufa Omar Rebbe Bas Hanazonis Menachin. Again, she is being supported currently by the brothers. Nitalis Iser Nechosim. Like we said before, this is the general rule. She takes 1/10 for her dowry. Omar Loi Rebbe. According to this statement, let's say you have 10 daughters, you have a family of 10 daughters and a son. So the son is going to end up with nothing because you're just going to say $100 divided by 10. Each one gets $10, the son gets absolutely nothing. No. This is what I said. The first one takes 10% of what there is. The second one is only going to take 1/10 of what's left. So the first daughter, you're right, the oldest daughter is going to get the most because she's going to get $10. The next daughter, there's only $90 left, is going to get 10%. She's only going to get $9. The shlish is b'masha shayra, and the third ones will get what's left from that. She'll get 10% of 81, and so on and so forth. V'chazeres v'cholkus v'shavu. But then the Gemara adds on. What happens is then they figure out that they take all this money, and by the time you're doing a tenth of a tenth of a tenth of a tenth, they all end up collecting collectively, I don't know what it is, $50-$60 out of the $100. $65 out of the $100. Okay, that's how it adds up mathematically. And then they go and get Cholchad Dinafshe Shokle. And then each one takes their portion, meaning you take 65 and divide it by the 10 daughters, and that's what each one gets.
And the son gets the 35.
What? And the son will get the balance will get the 35 in our example. Okay? And now on the top of some chesam veis kolchad v'chad denafshe shakla, and each one takes their relatively their portion or amount. So, one second. So the Gemara is sort of asking this as a kasha. So if each one is going, if they're going to go back and take each one, so then each one is only going to get 65, $6.50, okay, as opposed to the first one getting 10, 9, 8, 7, and so on. So the Gemara says, "Hachi Kamer." What you mean to say is like this: Imbo kulam liyinosid ka'achas chokos b'shava. Elachanami. That's talking about where we'll do it in the math that we just presented, because the son has to get something. Is if they're all coming to get married at the same time. So if they're all getting married at the same time, so then you take the nechasim, you do the math of what all 10 would have added up to, and then since they're all getting married at the same time, you take that big pot and divide it among all the daughters. But elachanami. The Gemara does seem to, the implication from this Gemara is if they're not getting married at the same time, then Anachanami, then each one is gonna, whatever, the first one takes more, the second one takes second, and third, they'll take as they go along. Messiah the Rav Masna, this proves Rav Masna's point, I'm Rav Masna, Imboli Nosu Kulumka Achas, if they all getting married at the same time, Noitlas Iser Echod. They all take 1/10. Iser Echod Salkatai, they only take 1/10 from all the property together. Elonai tell us Iser Ke Echod. What it means to say is that they're gonna take the 10th at the same time, as one unit. They're gonna figure out what that number is, and then they will divide it up among all 10 girls at the same time. But again, that's all talking about if they're literally getting married at the same time. But if they're getting married spaced over time, so then, I mean, the first will be first, and second, and so on and so forth. So it will work out, and therefore it will work out if their ages range from 20 years old to 1 year old, and it's going to take 20 years till they all get married. So then Anachanami, they're gonna end up getting different amounts. We're not gonna, Tosfos makes that point. We're not gonna go back and collect from the older daughter what she already received to give back, to contribute back, right? Because when the older daughter got married, she got 10. She got $10. We're not gonna, and then when the youngest daughter gets married 20 years later, where she's gonna end up with, you know, $3.50, she's not gonna have a right to go back to the oldest daughter and say, well, I only got 3.5 and you were really only entitled to 6, so give me the other 3. It doesn't work that way. Habonois, ben bogru achalainis, so whether they go into mature, they become a bagaris, which as we know is 12.5. They become mature even before they get married. Uben nisu ad shaloi bagru, or they get married young, which is supposedly talking about when she's a nairo. Ivdu mizayno sehen, they at that point they no longer get supported because they're overage or they're married out. The loy ivdu parnasoson, but even though she became a bagaris, she's older, she still is entitled to the parnasa. Again, parnasa over here means the dowry that the father would have given her when she gets married. Divrei Rebbe. That's Rebbe's opinion. Rav Shimon ben Elozer, says no. Afiv du parnas osan. Once she ages out, she's over 12.5. She's not entitled to be supported. She's not entitled to get a dowry anymore. So ketzad hein oisin. So what did according to Rav Shimon ben Elozer, what did they used to do? Seichus lahen bailin. So they would find a husband to get married to, mitzian lahen parnas osan, so that they would be entitled to their dowry. So they would get married young so that they can get their portion of what they're entitled to. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Li Huna. So Rav Huna told me, Hilchasa Karebi, we pass them like Rebbe, which is that even if they're overage, they're still entitled to their dowry. Okay, that's how he passed it. However, Esve, Rav Nachman, Rav now asked Rav Nachman, we have our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if you have a young girl who her mother and her brother marries her off, and they gave her a small, very small dowry, when she grows up, now, that she can go back and take what she really was entitled to in the first place. Now, Taimo de Katana. That, the reason why she's able to go back and what she was Michael is not a good Mechila, is because she was a young girl. Hagedoylo. But if she was in fact older, Vitra, that would be a Mechila. So we see that even though she was a Nairo, if she agreed to that amount, she doesn't get any more, and we don't say that she's entitled to the Parnasa. So whatever she got. We don't say that she's automatically entitled to, like Rebbe said, that she's entitled to the dowry. So the Gemara says, Loi Kasha. Hod mechoy, hod loy mechoy. It depends on whether she came back, right? Whether she came back and made a mecho that when she was a gedoyla and said, I'm okay with it or not okay with it. You're right. She's not entitled to it unless, in other words, it's not automatic that we're going to go and give it. We're not going to arrange to give it to her. But if she comes back and she taka complains that she didn't get what she deserved, so then we're going to go back and reassess and say, yes, you deserved more. That makes sense that it's really a question of whether she comes back and asks for it. Din Kane, because if so, Kasha de Rebbe. Because otherwise, Rebbe himself would be contradicting himself whether or not she gets a dowry. The Tanya we learned in the Brayso, Rebbe Omer, Basan is Zonis Mina Achin. If you have a girl that is supported by the husband, it tells Iser Nechosim. It says that he automatically get 10%. So, fine, that's okay, but let's make the diuk over here. Nizoinus in, Shein and Nizoinus loy. That's only talking about because she was at the time being supported by the brothers, therefore she's getting the dowry, which means she was still younger, implying that if she was already older and no longer being supported by the brothers, she would not get a dowry. Which contradicts Rebbe, because Rebbe before was saying that she never loses the dowry. So the Gemara says, you're right. The difference is, both things are true. But the difference is that she doesn't naturally get the dowry if she doesn't ask for it, because she's no longer being supported. So the brothers don't have the right, don't have the obligation to offer to give her the dowry. But Anachanami, if she comes back and demands that she wants it, then the brothers have no defense and they have to give it to her. Okay, next Gemara. Amar le Ravina le Rav. So now Ravina says to Rav. Amalon Rav Ada bar Ahava mishamecha. They say about in your name. Bogra in etzricha limchois. Oh, just because she became older, that's already, she doesn't have to make a mechal. Just because she got older, she didn't really move out so much. I mean, she is older and they don't have an obligation to support her, but she doesn't have to make a big stink about it. She should still be entitled to her dowry. Niseis, and etzricha limchois. And also, if she got married, then also she doesn't have to make a mechal. Again, that's the expectation. She's getting married, even if she gets married younger. She should also get the dowry. However, Bogra vinisays tzarich limchos. If she gets married and she's older and she didn't say anything and they didn't give her anything, the only way she's going to get is if she makes a mechal. Okay, so that's what they said in the name of Rav. So mi amar Rav hachi, but did Rav really? So basically, it comes out if she's older and she gets married and she didn't ask for the dowry, she's not going to get anything unless she comes back and asks for it. So mi amar Rav hachi, did Rav really say that? Rav le Rav Nachman, Rav himself asked this kasha to Rav Nachman, and it says Yisoymo, that the case of Yisoymo, meaning our case of the Mishnah, that says that she could come back and ask for it later. B'shanilei, and he answered this question, and hadamachi hadaloi mochi. And it says it depends on whether she made a mechal or not. So we see that it depends on, even if she was a, that it's, we see that that's when she got older. But if she was younger, she doesn't have to make a mechal. So the Gemara answers like Kasha, hadaka mitzana minayu, hadaka mitzana minayu. It depends that when does she have to go back and make a mechal? That when she is no longer being supported by the brothers anymore. If it's got to the point where she is in fact really moved out of the house and she's totally on her own and the brothers don't give her anything, the only way she's going to get it, similar to what the Gemara is saying before, this is very all consistent with what the Gemara before. She moved out of the house, she's not being supported by the brothers anymore and they didn't give her anything by the chasana, so then in the Hanami, she's not going to get unless she comes back and demands that she gets her proportionate share. But if at the time she got married, if she wasn't living in the house and she said nothing, she'll get nothing. On the flip side, if she is still being supported by the brothers and she doesn't say anything, then she is entitled. Even if she didn't say anything, she's entitled to that, and the brothers should be giving it to her. Okay, so basically there are three categories. There's the categories where she is a katana and she's supporting, where she absolutely should get it and the brother should give it to her. There's the category where she's a naira and the brothers are supporting her. Also in that category, the brother should be giving it to her. If she is older and she gets married, so she's over by Geras, so then it will depend on whether she says something or not. If she doesn't say anything, she gets nothing. If she says something, then she'll get the dowry. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rebbe. Parnoso Einot Kitanai Ksuba. Okay, so we had this concept before that there are certain things that are written into the Ksuba and they are treated as if they're a Ksuba also. But when it comes to the Parnoso, when it comes to dowry, that's not something that's automatic, that is in as if it's written in the Ksuba, whether or not it's written in the Ksuba. Okay, now, my Einot Kitanai Ksuba, but for what do we mean? What's the point that we're trying to make that it's not a Kitanai Ksuba? What halacha is relevant? If you're talking about Parnasa, she gets to collect even from property that the brothers themselves already sold to somebody else, she could pull them back. But tonight, Ksuba loy tarfim mishabdi, and if it's just something that's in the Ksuba, since we don't have a set amount, so that she can't, once the brothers sell it, it's too late, it's gone, she'll never get it. If that's the point that you're trying to make, not that it's incorrect, but my kamash malon, what's the chiddush with that point? We already know that. Hamaisim b'chol yoyim, we know that happens all the time. Maitzi'in the parnasa, vein maitzi'in l'mazonos, that she has a right to demand that she get her dowry. And she can even take it from property that the brothers already sold off. Versus mazonos, where once they sold it, it's gone, there's nothing left in the house to support, then she doesn't get anything anymore. So this wouldn't be the chiddush, this wouldn't be Rav Huna saying in the name of Rebbe, making this big proclamation that it's not like a Tanaik Ksuba. If that's the point of this halacha, we know that already. The Elo, rather the point of this halacha, what he was trying to say was as follows. The Ilu Parnasa Gavya Nami Mimetaltalin, that Parnasa, you could even take out of out of tangible items. The Tanai Ksuba Mimakarkoi Gavya Mimatato Loi Gavya. So, and if it's a Tanai Ksuba, that you can only collect, meaning you can sell off property for the purposes of of supporting the daughter's mezainis. But you don't, you cannot force the brothers to sell off metaltolin, tangible items, to, for the purposes of supporting her just for mezainis. And that would be the difference. However, the Rebbe, I divide the gavya. But what about, according to Rebbe Shito, that says that even from mezainis you can collect from metaltolin. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa, Echon Achos and Shieshlan Achrayas. Whether they have a chrayas, which is generally referred to as land, because it follows, the shibud follows. The Echon Achos that's generally referring to metaltolin. There's no achrayas on them. Once you sell it, the sale is done. It's a no returns policy. And in both of those cases, Rebbe says matzian lemazon aisha ulebonos divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that you do collect mezonis even from metaltolin. So if that's true that mezonis itself is collecting from metaltolin and the dowry is collected from metaltolin, so then what's the difference? What makes something a tanaik suba versus not a tanaik suba? Elo, so the Gemara says you're right. My parnosa ain't a tanaik suba. What did we mean when we said that it's not a tanaik suba, that it's different than a regular aspects of suba? Look at the Tanya, we learned for the following halacha that we learned in the Braisa. And we'll finish with this. Ha'omer al yezoinu benoisav minachosav. If a person says, when a person on his deathbed, he says, I don't want my money going towards supporting my daughters. Ain shoymin lo. We don't listen to that. Because that is what makes it, that's the tanaik suba. Whether he agrees or doesn't agree, it's written into the suba. It's an absolute obligation. He has no right to dictate where his money goes after he dies and say, I don't want them to have it. However, if he says, al yisparnasu benoisav minichosav, but if a guy says, I don't want any of my money going towards dowries for my daughters, they cannot touch it for their weddings, the halacha is shoymin loy, that is where we will listen to him. Why? Sha parnosa ena kanaik suba. Because parnosa, the bowery that he gives, that's not part of, that's not an absolute obligation. That's not an obligation on the estate. Excuse me. Right, exactly. That's not an obligation on the estate. That's an obligation on the father. So if the father himself says, I don't want to give, he has the right to say, I don't want to give. He has an absolute right. So when a father is alive, okay, so what comes out from this Gemara is like this. When a father is alive, a father absolutely gets to make the decisions about how much he gives for a dowry. Now, even if there's an expected amount and there's a set amount, but ultimately, the father can say, I want to do the expectations, I want to do more, I want to do less. And whatever the father decides, that is what he does. The only problem we ran into over here was when the father died, and now we're just dealing with his estate, and we have to figure out what would the father have done. So this is a machlokes between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. Chacham say, okay, we can automatically assume that he wanted to give 10%. Whether it's true or not true, it doesn't matter. We can assume that that's what he wanted, and therefore he wanted to give that. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, let's take the guy's personality into consideration and see, what did he want to do? Did he really want to give this much? Did he give it to his older daughter? What has he done in the past? What type of guy is he? And that's how we do the assessment. Not just a straight, if. Now all of that, even in Rabbi Yehuda, it's if we know the guy. If we know the guy and we can figure out what he really would have wanted, then we give out what we think he really would have wanted. But Anachanami, if it's a situation where we cannot figure out what he wanted, even Rabbi Yehuda will revert back to giving the 10%. But all of that is because the father didn't say anything, so we're now trying to insert ourselves into his shoes to figure out what he would have wanted to do, so we're giving on his behalf. But if the father is clear, like in this case at the end of the Gemara that we just learned, where he's clear and he says, I don't want to give, I'm not giving a penny, as we've seen earlier in Mishnayos earlier, if the father says, I don't want to give, he doesn't have a chiv. This is not an obligation. This is not a tanaik suba where he's obligated to do it whether or not he agrees. This is purely up to him. Now, if he doesn't say anything, we discussed all the different variables, whether we'll figure it out. But if he says something, and he says, I don't want to give, he doesn't have to give, and that's the end of the conversation. He does not have to give. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up on Samachtas next time.